News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast. Now, here's your host, Rita Farkas.
Good evening. Coming up on the program, Mayor Sam Sullivan announces a new health facility for BC, and a top BC food chain seeks to reduce minimum work shifts. We'll have all this plus arts, sports, and your five-day weather forecast coming up on this half hour right here on News 101. But first, this evening, we continue with our series of interviews of the Vancouver Quadra by-election candidates. As you may know, four ridings across the country will be holding a by-election in March to fill positions in Parliament. On July 27th of last year, Stephen Owen resigned from Parliament, leaving the Vancouver Quadra seat open, the seat that includes UBC in its riding. The by-elections are being held on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, and today we've got Green Party candidate Daniel Anthony Grice and Liberal Party candidate Joyce Murray here with us to tell us a little bit about their campaigns. We will begin with Daniel Anthony Grice and follow up with Joyce Murray. So, Daniel,
you can call me Dan, that's fine.
Dan, thank you. Did I pronounce your last name properly?
That's correct, yes.
Great. So, can you start off just by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, well, I actually was a UBC graduate a few years ago. When I was at UBC, I was on everything here, Arts Undergraduate Society, Arts County Fair Organizing Committee. I heard Arts County Fair got canceled this year, which was very disappointing for me. But and Alma Mater Society. So that was kind of where I got my feet wet, per se, in politics.
Okay.
Since then, I've been involved with the electoral reform, working as an organizer with Fair Voting BC. Where we pushed pretty successfully to get 57% of the vote in BC to change our electoral system. And just recently, within the last year, I decided to run as a candidate federally. And that's how I got to where I am right now.
So have you always considered yourself to be somewhat associated with the Green Party or its politics?
When I was in university, I think like many students, I wasn't really familiar with the Green Party.
Okay.
I wasn't really a partisan at that point. And it was really when I started working with electoral reform that I came across the Green Party and realized that it was the most wonderful group of candidates, the only ones who seemed to be honest on an in-and-out basis. And really, it was a party that I found that met most with my values, which was really looking to put a positive vision for the future. And I really see, and I'm glad that I found the party, because it really is, I think, the future of Canadian politics.
Great. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. Can you sum up for me maybe what it is about Green Party, the main components of the platform of the Green Party that are important to you?
I think what the Green Party has done, which is unlike anything else in this country, is we put forward a vision that goes to 2020. We're not putting forward a 2 or 3 year plan, per se, for this country. We think we have to work out a long-term solution that people of my generation, as well as all generations, deserve to have a government that's looking at long-term planning. And I think that is the most wonderful thing about the Green Party, is we've looked at a lot of aspects of society, and we've said, okay, some things are going to end up costing us down the road greatly if we don't start acting now. And so we put a lot of new policies forward, whether it's putting the price on pollution, and we were the only party that came out and said, you know, in favor of this carbon tax, which was supported by almost the entire Department of Economics here at UBC. And really, we have a lot of forward-thinking policy. No, we're not holding our punches. We're going for the vision that Canada needs right now. And that's really what the Green Party stands for, is hope.
Okay. So maybe some people have a misconception that the Green Party just focuses on the environment and that's all the platform is about. Can you explain why or how it expands from just a green platform?
Well, you know, the focus really has been on dealing with climate change. But when we're talking about this isn't just an environmental issue. This is a social issue. It's a geopolitical issue. It's really the security of the human species really depends on this.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't separate social justice if you're not dealing with what the effects of climate change will happen on a third world country. And so we've kind of focused on that. But our vision really is to bring Canada into what we call the low carbon economy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a future beyond petroleum, we like to say it, because we know that ultimately in 40, 50 years, if not sooner, you know, the oil supplies in this world are going to be running out. And that's why we have to take the step forward to change our economy right now. So our vision is really an economic vision, but we also accompany things like post-secondary education, because you can't have a strong economic future and a strong peaceful future if you don't have a strong education system behind it. So we do encompass every aspect of society, and our Vision Green, which is the most comprehensive We don't call it a platform. It's a foundation document. It's about 100 pages long, covers every aspect of society. We've got a full plan.
Okay. So moving on to the majority of our listeners are students. So student issues, an issue such as student loans, what can you propose or what are your feelings about the issue that we are facing with massive numbers of students facing massive amounts of debt?
You know, when I was on the UBC Council the year they took off the tuition freeze. And we know that this is it's made worse. Not only is the cost of living rising in Vancouver, the cost of tuition is going up. So, you know, students are a lot of them are hardly able to get on by. And the grant system and the loan system is not only incomplete, it doesn't meet the needs of students, mm-hmm. but it's also leaving people with just a huge amount of student debt. So one of the things when I was, you know, for the last 5 or probably 8 years, ever since I was here at UBC, had long been advocating for, is really once graduation happens, is really a reduction in student debt. If you're staying in this country and you're working in this country and being a productive member of society, or just a member of our Canadian society, we should start looking at wiping the board clean for students and welcoming them into society rather than, you know, handing them your debt and saying here's your degree and here's your bill. And right. that seems to be the problem that students are facing now. And this is essential that we have a strong education system. If this practices continue, we're running out of nurses, we're running out of doctors, we're running out of the foundation of society. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's because, you know, politicians have basically thought that university is an afterthought. University is an investment in our future, and I would do whatever it takes to put that, you know, next to the environment as one of the definite priorities in any kind of action. I really believe in the future of our education system.
Great. Okay. So we're going to have to wrap things up here quickly, but I thought I'd just leave you a moment to maybe, you know, give us your thoughts or any last minute details as to your campaign and what you're working towards.
Yeah, no, I really hope any listeners who have an inclination of supporting the Green Party or Forward will get involved. We really have an opportunity for students to come out. And if you want, you can check out my website. It's votegrice.com. That's VOTEGRICE. Or Google Dan Grice. And you'll find me because we're looking for support. And really, I would love to know of any issues that you guys face, mm-hmm. and work with you. And so I really hope everyone comes. And by the way, guys, I'm on Facebook too. So if you have any listeners, everybody's on it, and so am I. So, but definitely, I look forward to being the next leader for this area and someone who really reflects the changing demographics of this wonderful country.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time and coming in. And lastly, just one quick question. I'm just curious what you studied while you were at UBC.
Oh, I got my degree in classical studies. So
okay.
I'm an archaeology buff by trade, but now a politician and a tech geek by training. So
okay, great.
Have a good one.
Thanks very much and good luck in your campaign. We're going to go now to a quick PSA break, but stay tuned for an interview with the Liberal candidate, Joyce Murray.
We're here to inform you about African Awareness Week happening at UBC between the dates of February 1st and February 8th.
This is a unique event with the purpose of increasing awareness about the importance of Africa studies at UBC. We will accomplish this by holding seminars, workshops, and events during that week and presenting world-class African scholars, writers, artists, and activists to carry our mission of exceeding the layperson's expectations of how much Africa has to give to the world.
All are welcomed. For more information or for details on the seminars, workshops, and events, please visit the website at www.africa-awareness.ubc.ca.
If you want to know the truth and drop a stereotypical perception of Africa, this is your chance to become an informed citizen.
www.africa-awareness.ubc.ca.
To dance, Papa. Oh, can't we see the pretty horses?
Yes, on February 8th.
Oh, but do tell me where, Papa.
CITR's party celebration, being held at the Sub at UBC, 7 p.m. in the evening.
May we dress up?
Oh, but of course. You may dress up as your favorite dead trend. It's the theme.
Oh, will there be a small prize for the best costumes?
Yes, there will, little one.
19 plus.
Refreshments available.
Room 2. 216.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:12. Returning with our by-election candidate series, I am joined in studio now by Liberal Party candidate Joyce Murray. Joyce, thanks for coming in this afternoon. And first, can you just begin by telling us a little bit about who you are?
Sure, and thanks for the invitation to be here, Rita. I really appreciate that.
Great.
I'm a mother of three young people, one of whom is a UBC student, actually, in the GRS program here at UBC. And I built a tree planting company over 25 years that has hired a lot of young people who earn their way through university out in the forests.
Okay, so you're pretty well versed with dealing with youth.
Yes, youth and environmental issues as well, which is one of the key reasons that I went into politics.
Okay, great. So moving into that issue, what is it about the Liberal Party and how are you related to the Liberal Party? What are the key issues that draw you to their platform?
Well, I'm a candidate, obviously, but I also was the co-chair of Stéphane Dion's campaign in 2006.
Okay.
And one of the key things that drew me to Stéphane Dion as our to be a leader, mm-hmm. and the Liberal platform is his focus on environmental issues.
Okay.
So what the Liberal Party is looking to do is help create a future where social justice issues are a priority and environmental issues while maintaining a strong economy, which is something the Liberals proved to be able to do back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll get back to the issue of the environment, but quickly I'd just like to touch on the student issues. Obviously, our listenership is a lot of students. So do you have any comments to make about issues that we face, housing shortages, student loans?
Thanks for that lead-in. My party's leader, Stéphane Dion, is a former professor. So mm-hmm. he's got a very good grasp of education issues and what's needed for a quality, accessible education system. And he also has put forward an anti-poverty plan. So when you're talking about affordable housing, it's such a challenge here in the Vancouver area. And I know it's a challenge for UBC students and faculty alike.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the parts of his program is to bring the federal government back into supporting affordable housing. And I think students will appreciate that.
Okay. Do you have any comments to make about student loans in particular? I mean, it's a huge topic, one that you can't address really in 30 seconds, but this is a serious issue for the majority of students here at UBC.
Of course, and students come out of university with humongous debt, makes mm-hmm. it very difficult. Before the Conservatives took over in 2006, the Liberal Party had put over $3 billion on the table over 5 years into the post-secondary education system, and that included to enrich the grants and loans program. That was all cut by Mr. Harper. So what was $3 billion replaced with? I think an $80 tax credit for textbooks. So what we have in this by-election is essentially we have a conservative government that would like more seats.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at south of the border at Mr. Bush's Republican USA, we can get a hint of what would happen if we had a majority conservative government.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that students are becoming aware with all of the focus on the election in the United States. Clearly, it's time to have a Liberal government back in Ottawa so that we can start to focus on things like social justice and post-secondary education and the environment once again.
Okay, so again, let's get a little bit further into that. What are the issues for you? What are the main components of your platform?
A key reason I got into politics after 25 years in reforestation is the environment, and it's to move the environmental policy agenda ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wrote my thesis in 1992 in an MBA program on global warming, and I back then, that's 17 years ago now, I pitched for strong targets for Canada, a leadership role on the international stage, mm-hmm. on the issue of climate change. So I'm a strong proponent for action on that level. That's that's my number one, is the environment.
I'm curious to hear why you chose to be a part of the Liberal Party as opposed to any other party in regards to the environmental issues.
Because Mr. Dion has a very strong focus on the environment. And in fact, the leader of the Green Party, Elizabeth May, has effectively endorsed Mr. Dion as who she would like to see as the next prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And so continuing on with any other components that for you are important?
Affordable housing is important.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I thought was absolutely completely unacceptable was the fact that the Kelowna Accord was erased
right.
by Mr. Harper. Now, the Kelowna Accord was a historic opportunity to address the gaps in economic and health and educational outcomes with First Nations here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can we be as prosperous a country as we are and a progressive country and not address those issues? So to me, that's an absolute urgent priority to have equity and share prosperity and ensure that First Nations have the same kind of opportunities that non-First Nations have in Canada. So
mm-hmm.
that's another priority. Post-secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two students in university right now, so I understand the challenges, and it's a priority for me.
Okay, great. So lastly, I'll just leave you any time to plug your campaign or tell us what the most important issues are for you right now in going out in the snow and knocking on people's doors.
Well, thanks, Rita. I've been doing a lot of that. I welcome student volunteers. We have a big student campaign. Essentially, it's a two-way race in Vancouver Quadra. We've only in the last several generations either had a conservative or a liberal representative.
Mm-hmm.
For those students that don't want to see another conservative seat here, I hope that they will help me keep this liberal so that we don't strengthen Mr. Harper's hand.
And will this be your first time sitting in Parliament if you win the election?
Absolutely. My first time in Ottawa.
Great. Okay. Thanks for your time today, Joyce,
yeah.
And good luck.
Thanks, Rita. Appreciate the opportunity.
So a reminder to all students to go out and vote on St. Patrick's Day for the by-election candidate. We're now going to take another quick PSA break, but stay tuned for more local and provincial news.
I'm a wizard, and I'm using my magic powers to go to the Engineers Without Borders benefit concert. It's February 7th at the Backstage Lounge on Granville Island. All my wizard friends are going to be there.
Four bands are rocking out for a good cause. The Perks, The Hotel Lobbyists, Punch Charming, and Hemingway's Gun. Doors at 8, advance tickets available from EWB. Contact them at ubc.ewb.ca.
If you're not at the Engineers Without Borders benefit concert, you don't have any magic powers at all.
The Spartacus Youth Club Class Series presents The Fight for Revolutionary Marxism, a series of readings and films presented throughout the fall semester at UBC. The next presentation is
February 6th, Wednesday, 6 p.m., Room 212, The Deception of Bourgeois Democracy. Break with pro-imperialist NDP for a revolutionary, multiracial workers' party fighting for socialist revolution.
Readings include Imperialism and the Split in Socialism, V.I. Lenin, Lenin and the Vanguard Party, a Spartacus pamphlet, pages 11 to 16 and 47 to 55, For Class Struggle Against Capitalist Reaction, NDP in Bed with Bosses Parties, Spartacus Canada, number 148, and the IG in Executive Office, Sewer Centrism, Workers' Vanguard, number 895.
All classes held in the Student Union Building, UBC. For information and to obtain the readings, contact the SYC at 604-687-0353. Email trotskyist_vancouver@shorecable.com.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:22. Now with a look at local and provincial news, we are joined in studio by News 101 reporters Leanne Yu and Carrie Baptist.
If you looked at the Lionsgate Bridge this morning, you may have noticed something a little weird. Students from the UBC School of Engineering succeeded in hanging a Volkswagen Bug off the side of the bridge early this morning. The vehicle isn't blocking traffic, although it may cause a distraction for drivers crossing the bridge. In 2001, UBC engineering students took credit for hanging a Volkswagen off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco.
According to Vancouver Mayor Sam Sullivan, British Columbia will be receiving a new mental health facility in the near future. This is after the release of a report by the Vancouver Police Department, which suggests that one-third of the calls to police made in the city were related to mental health issues. The VPD report went on to state that the provincial policy of deinstitutionalization has failed, leading some officers to spend up to half their time dealing with psychiatric cases. BC Health Minister George Abbott confirmed Sullivan's sentiments and stated that the partially closed Riverview Hospital in Coquitlam could be reopened and geared towards the treatment of 150 so-called chronic offenders who are behind a disproportionate amount of crime in the city, but he would not state further details about the program.
A trip to the doctors may soon be a lot less hassle. The BC Medical Association is promoting a new plan called Advanced Access, which would make the system more efficient by decreasing the amount of time patients have to wait before seeing a doctor. Advanced Access would be for general practitioners like your family doctor. According to the plan, doctors would leave 2 or 3 empty slots in their day, which would ease pressure on the doctor and make it more likely that patients will get in right away. The BC Medical Association says that this will ease pressure on the emergency room and make it more likely that patients will come in for continuous care from a general practitioner rather than always going to a walk-in clinic. Dr. Bill Cavers of the BCMA says that only 5 to 10% of British Columbia general practitioners have switched over to this new system, but those that have switched are raving about it. Switching does require some work, though, because doctors will have to clear out their backlog of cases in order to start fresh with the new system.
The United Food and Commercial Workers Union is shocked at a major BC grocery chain's new plan to have 2-hour shifts. Local 1518, which represents 8,500 workers, was met with this demand during negotiations with the Overweightia Food Group. The current contract for workers of the company, which includes Save on Foods and Urban Fare, expires this March. Local 1518 communications representative Andy Neufeld says 2-hour shifts are out of the question and that the company is out of touch with reality. Neufeld adds that employees aren't being paid adequate wages as it is. The minimum shifts at grocery stores are currently 4 hours. The BC Liberal government changed provincial minimum shift laws to 4 hours in 2001. In addition to shift changes, the union reported that Overweightia also wants the union workers to pay for their own benefits. The Overweightia Food Group is owned by the Jim Pattison Group and is Canada's third largest privately owned company. The company's website reports that it did $6.3 billion in sales in 2005.
And in national news, almost 1 in 6 Canadians would give up their vote in Canada's next federal election if it meant they were allowed to vote in the current American elections. This according to a poll out today, which asked Canadians about how they perceive Canada's role in the world. The strong interest in American politics could be because 46% of survey respondents said the outcome of the U.S. elections matters a great deal to Canada. Canadians may view America as important, but this is not necessarily a good thing. When asked what country stands out as being a negative force in the world, 52% said America. Other common answers were Iraq, Iran, and China. And it's now time to get an update on UBC Athletics. Here's Tyler Noble with Thunderbird Ion Sports.
We begin with UBC men's basketball, and after a slow start Saturday against the Saskatchewan Huskies, the Thunderbirds kicked into gear in the second half to pick up a 90-78 win in the final regular season home game of the 07-08 campaign. The Huskies led through most of the first half until Chris Dick hit a streaking Matt Ratcher to pull UBC within 2 with just 6 seconds remaining before the break. And after the Birds intercepted the ensuing inbound pass, Brett Leversash nailed a buzzer-beating layup to tie the game at 36-all. The teams were neck and neck through the third quarter before UBC began to pull away early in the fourth. Dick finished the night with a game-high 25 points, while Balraj Baines dazzled the crowd at War Gym with two huge dunks late in the contest that sealed the victory. Head coach Kevin Hansen on bouncing back after a 75-70 loss to Alberta on Friday afternoon.
I thought that was one of the hardest games that we've played in a long time, like for a full 40 minutes. You know, we've been taking a lot of possessions off on the defensive end at times. And I thought that tonight we didn't take very many off at all. And I thought they earned the points that they got. They made plays on offense and because they had to. And I thought our defense was really solid the whole game.
With the win, UBC improves to 16-5 and have now clinched first place in the Canada West Pacific Division. But despite a third straight year atop the division, the Birds have struggled against teams from outside the Pacific.
As a team, we've been inconsistent. And I think as a post unit, we've been inconsistent. And so we just have to find out if guys are, you know, if guys are motivated, you know, extrinsically by starting and by other things. Well, then we have to find that way to motivate them. Or if it's going to kick some guys in the butt that they have to come off the bench on occasion, well, we're going to do that.
The Birds have a chance to fine-tune next weekend when they visit Thompson Rivers and Fraser Valley. Saturday was seniors' night for the UBC women's basketball team, which capped off their regular season in style with a big 76-44 win over Saskatchewan. Erica McGinnis, Julie Little, and Kate Haggerty played their final regular season home games of their careers, and as always, their presence was felt. The three academic All-Canadians combined for 45 points, 12 assists, and 11 rebounds to lead the Birds to victory. McGinnis poured in 11 of her game-high 27 points during a stretch in the late second and early third quarters when UBC went on a 25-3 run to take a 51-24 stranglehold on the game. That run began with just over a minute left in the second, following a five-minute stretch in which Saskatchewan held UBC off the board entirely. McGinnis also picked up 7 assists and 7 rebounds. The Birds rounded out a fantastic weekend in terms of field goal percentage with another good effort on Saturday, hitting 54.1% of their shots against Saskatchewan, following up on near-perfect shooting in Friday's 86-49 win over the Alberta Pandas. With the win, UBC moves to 19-2 and remains one game back of Pacific Division leading Simon Fraser. But with just two games remaining and a tiebreaker in the hands of the Clan, the Birds would need to win each of their games and hope SFU loses out in order to take over top spot. The Lady Birds also close out the season next weekend at Trinity Western and Fraser Valley. The UBC women's volleyball team extended their winning streak to 14 matches after a sweep of the Calgary Dinos in UBC's last home series of the regular season. Saturday afternoon, the number 2 ranked Lady Birds easily took the number 3 Dinos in straight sets, with Liz Cardonnier leading all players with 16 kills. Yesterday's rematch at War Memorial Gym was a tougher one for UBC, as the Thunderbirds faced a 2-set deficit to start the match. But the Dinos fell victim to the Birds' solid defense, only mustering 21 points in the final 2 sets, as UBC came back to take the match in 5. Danielle Peterson received Player of the Match honors with 12 kills, 16 digs, and 5 blocks. Heading into the last weekend of the regular season, the Thunderbirds can still finish atop the Canada West standings and host the Final Four. Tied with Manitoba with 17 wins, the Lady Birds will visit Trinity Western next weekend, while the Bisons take on the fourth-place Alberta Pandas. While it's unknown as to whether UBC will host the conference final, the Thunderbirds are guaranteed home court advantage for at least the quarterfinal round. First serve Friday and Saturday are set for 6 p.m., both of which you can catch right here on CITR. The men's volleyball team earned a split with the Trinity Western Spartans over the weekend to finish off their regular season sked. Friday in Langley, the Birds found themselves down 2-0, but stormed all the way back in a marathon 5-set match that saw Steve Gotch once again lead the way for the Thunderbirds with 14 kills. Saturday's rematch had UBC off to a great start with a 25-19 first-set victory, but the stubborn Spartans came right back to take the second. The two Canada West rivals traded sets once again before heading to the decisive fifth for a second straight night. UBC found themselves with a 4-point deficit on match point, but rallied to tie it at 14. The Spartans got 2 quick kills, however, ending the match and sending the Thunderbirds into a bye week before the start of the playoffs later this month. With their loss to Trinity on Saturday, UBC is out of contention to host the Canada West Final Four. Instead, the Birds have clinched third in the conference with a record of 13-5, one match back of both Alberta and Winnipeg. The UBC men's hockey team was off this past weekend, giving them much-needed time to prepare for what are likely their 4 toughest tests over the next 2 weeks. The Birds host the 4th-ranked Saskatchewan Huskies next weekend before traveling to Edmonton to take on number 2 Alberta to close out the season. Although getting a home playoff berth is still mathematically possible, The Birds dropped two crucial four-point games in Manitoba that would have made it awfully hard for the Bisons to catch UBC in the standings. Instead, it's the Birds who are now trying to play catch-up, sitting fifth in the Canada West with 22 points, four back of Manitoba for the final home playoff spot in the conference. The Bisons are in Calgary next weekend to face the Dinos before closing out the season at home against the Regina Cougars. You can catch UBC's games against Saskatchewan Friday and Saturday night right here on CITR. Puck drop is at 7:30 p.m. both days. The UBC women's hockey team was merely playing for pride this past weekend after being eliminated from playoff contention a week earlier by the Saskatchewan Huskies. Although UBC managed to beat the number 2-ranked Alberta Pandas in a shootout back in November, they fell in another shootout Friday before getting blanked 3-0 on Saturday. UBC finishes the season with a record of 6-15-3, with five of the wins coming against the Lethbridge Pronghorns. The Birds will lose just four players to graduation this year. Appearing in the blue and gold for the final time were forward Sara Matsumura, Carly Rompera, blue liner Amy DeBrie, and goaltender Morgan Tierney. And in other Thunderbird news, UBC Athletics has announced a plan to introduce women's softball to its varsity roster. The team will have club sport status for its first season in 2008-2009, competing against teams in the Lower Mainland before becoming an official varsity sport the following year. The 2009-2010 season will see the Birds compete against other university and college teams throughout the northwestern U.S. UBC Athletic Director Bob Phillips says the school is currently searching for a head coach. And that's been your Thunderbird Eye on Sports for this Monday. I'm Tyler Noble.
And thank you, Tyler, for that look at UBC Athletics. We're going to wrap up today's show with a look at your five-day weather forecast. Meteorologist Selena Ferris is off enjoying Mount Baker today. So in place, here is Leanne Yu and your five-day weather forecast.
Thank you, Rita. It looks like we'll be getting the wet stuff for the rest of the week. Temperatures tonight will drop to 2 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow we'll see heavy rain accompanied by strong winds up to 50 kilometers an hour, so be ready with boots and umbrellas. There'll be a high of 7 and a low of 3. Wind and rain will continue for Wednesday with a high of 5 and a low of 3. Showers for both Thursday and Friday with temperatures of around 7. And that's your weekday weather forecast. Back to you, Rita.
And thank you, Leanne. That's our program for February 4th, 2008. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts, and if you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news at citr.ca. Megan Turcotto produced this radio program. For more news, join us Friday at 5 p.m. for the next edition of News 101. For the entire news team here at CITR, this is Rita Farkas, thanking you for listening. Stay tuned for Wings coming up next on 101.9 FM CITR.
For 11 years he's been in power. What's he really done for the Aboriginal community? You know, what has he done? He's